Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. As always, I bring you the salt of the ocean. I went in this morning, as always, as much as I can, as long as I can, and it gives me so much back. It gives me current. So let me pass the currency of the sea on to you this morning. Simple show, but you need to hear it. Simple show on food wisdom. Food wisdom. Food choices should not be so difficult, and yet they are. Over something that, well, what could be, as far as your health is concerned, more important than your food choices. Food choices are everything. And the first thing I want to call your attention to is the fact that there are two facets of socialization, of humans, that understand how to make a food choice correctly unless somebody gets in their way. The first one is pregnant women. The second one is children. Of the two, pregnant women do better. Everybody understands that when your wife is pregnant, every woman understands that when she's pregnant, there's no rules except feed that baby what it wants. And the mother interprets that as feed the mother what she wants. And the husband interprets it as give my wife everything she wants. Now, even if, unfortunately, that doesn't occur throughout the marriage, it definitely occurs, well, especially with that first and second kid. By the time you get to number eight, you've run out of steam sometimes. But let's just take it from the top. The first kid in a good family, and that woman's pregnant. What's the rule? The rule is feed the woman what she wants. Now, this isn't a little thing. This is a big thing. We should take a look at this, because in that moment, the woman is beyond, and ladies, you know I'm dead correct here, it's beyond your analytic mind. There's no such thing as the book said to do this, so I'm going to do that. If you're thinking through your head when you're pregnant, your kid's in trouble. It's going to come out an egghead. Most women, they don't think through their head when they're pregnant, especially. They're feeling their body, and their body's telling them what to do. It's as if pregnancy is a God-given exercise to get more in touch with what God gave you to get in touch with in the first place. It's called your soul. Soul. Can't say that word in the science labs, soul. Not allowed to say it. You say it, you get laughed at. That's true, even today. Can't say soul. Soul has nothing to do with science. So if we discuss the science of making your food choices when you're pregnant, we can't say listen to your soul. We might get away with listen to your body, but if you break listen to your body down, it's called listening to your soul. Well, it doesn't matter because you're pregnant and baby's going to get everything it wants, right? Okay. Simple. Why don't we live that way all the time? Now, that makes sense. It's reasonable. I'm sure anyone in the audience today is going, well, that makes sense. That's reasonable. Then why don't you do it more often? And that's my point. Why are you reading all these dumb, backwards, perverted, bought out, bribed periodicals on what you should be eating because some guy decides that it worked for him, so it's got to work for the world? Why are you doing that? Food choices should not be so difficult. Yet they are, because we use our heads. Get out of the way of your head and be like the pregnant woman. Now, haven't I made that simple? Sure. Except to do that, is almost an impossible task because we're so filled with all this stuff in our head. Well, that's the end of the show. I've pointed you in the right direction. It's up to you to chart your own course, and I'll go smoke a cigar. Thank you. Okay, not really. I'm not going to get off the hook that easily. Let me give you another example of how this should work but doesn't work. The Wall Street Journal, I have the article right here. Maybe I'll put it on the website later. The Wall Street Journal, about a month ago, had an article on the single biggest issue for moms with their kids are finicky eaters. More kids today, at least the Wall Street Journal reports, are finicky eaters. And this has become so vexatious to the family that the Wall Street Journal picked it up. People are writing books on how to deal with your finicky kid. What could be more hypocritical? What could be more upside down and backwards than to say your kid is a problem because it's a finicky eater? And yet you've done it. You have done it. You have said to your kid, "Kid, eat what I put on the plate." In fact, if you're over 60, you remember, eat what you put on your plate, finish everything, and thank God there's even food on that plate. Just shove it down. Boy, did we get the screw on that one. If you were born between 1960 and 1980, and you were hearing that malarkey from parents and grandparents who lived through the Depression and yada, 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 boy, did you get the nail in the coffin? Why? Well, that kid knows what to eat. It's telling you the food you're feeding it is garbage. It's garbage. The kid knows, like the pregnant woman knows. But we know better because we're the adults, because we have wisdom, because of this and that, and science says. How? If I'm not correct, how could mothers back in the 50s be convinced to feed their kids soy milk instead of breast milk? Because some MD, Dr. Spock, there's a genius, huh? There's a real winner. Soy milk instead of breast milk? I could cry. How many kids were destroyed? How many kids were born weak and not nourished? Because Dr. Spock told women, do soy milk. It's superior to your own breast milk. Do you have to be a genius to smell baloney? Seriously. Isn't that the scam? When somebody with an MD, PhD tells you this is what science says, isn't that the scam that you, because maybe you didn't graduate high school, that you're inclined to believe it because that guy's got credentials? Isn't that the scam of the world? I will tell you, I'm 60 years old. I will be in school till I die probably. I work with these people. I learn from these people. I teach these people. Never, ever, ever replace your common sense with their knowledge. Use your common sense. Never, ever, ever sacrifice your common sense to anybody. I don't care if you're on the operating table and they're wrapped around you like vultures telling you what they're about to do. When it doesn't make sense to you, you speak up. Take that to the bank, my friends. Well, I wish my mother had. I was only breastfed for a week. Just a week. Because somebody convinced her not to do it. And my brother and sister weren't breastfed at all. And many of you share that. There's an example. It's one of the best examples of not listening to your... Wait a minute. It's that word again. I can't hold it back. Soul. Not listening to your soul. You want to get laughed out of your genetics class. You want to get laughed out of your microbiology class. You want to get laughed out of your biochemistry class. You want to get laughed out of any class under the name of science. Just suggest that there's some intelligence, some life force, something that's making the decisions that's beyond the understanding of science. It can't be quantified. Just do that and watch what happens. You want to know where the devil lives? You want to know where the ultimate scam is? It's right there. I just told you. When a society postures itself to tell the common man that he's stupid, that he's of low esteem, that he's a pesante, a peasant, because he listens to his soul, well, then we're close to the end. And it's that simple. So, you want to talk about food? You want to talk about your situation, your digestive disorders, how you've tried everything, how about nothing works? It's because you have no concept of what it means to listen to your soul. You know, my classes, and by the way, next Sunday, I'm doing a seminar on the cleanses. Kidney cleanses, liver cleanses, gallbladder cleanses, cardiovascular cleanses, colon cleanses, pancreatic enzyme cleanses, fibrin cleanses. We've got about 45 people, which is about max. I can stuff 50 into the room. If you're interested, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Seven straight hours of listening to me. Now, I know that's rough, so we'll take breaks. However, we're not going to take too many breaks because I have a lot to tell you. I teach the class off of PowerPoint. It's $150. It's worth $150,000. It's worth $1 million. How can you put a price on knowledge? I certainly haven't. That's next Sunday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., 714-850-1007. Just call that number. Come in and do it. Don't ask too many questions. Use your gut to make the choice. If you like what I'm talking about in this show today, you're going to love the seminar. Very simple. Things should be simple. E equals MC squared. Simple. Einstein said, the simple for Occam's razor. You know Occam's razor? The simple explanation is the one you should pick. There's great truth in simplicity. Eat like your kid. Eat like a pregnant woman. Okay, after that, we'll get a little more heady here. Let's get heady. Chinese medicine. The name is Mao Xing Ni. I'm going to put all of this on my website later so you can see the pictures. Mao Xing Ni wrote a book on food choices. The Chinese understand how to choose their foods based upon how your body feels in response to those foods. And they've come up with certain conclusions. I've lived this way for years. I got into Chinese medicine back in the late 80s. A ton of wisdom there. What they're telling you about duck and lamb and oyster and lobster is that it feeds the glands, especially the sex glands, but it feeds the adrenals also. If you lose fluids in sexual practice, if it's a cold and rainy day, if you're exhausted and hungry, and you go out and buy that rack of lamb, that grass-fed Australian New Zealand rack, char it up, make it taste great, keep it nice and rare. I mean rare, red, bloody. And you take some eggs and you either poach or go sunny side up, and you eat the eggs with the lamb. Once you've generated a real appetite, preferably after exercise, that food will go straight to your glandular system. Now, anybody that's hooked into their body will agree. That's why the Chinese Mao Xing Ni wrote books on it. There's a guy named Henry Liu, L-U. I'll put these books on the website. If you're new to the show, I'm going to do the second half of this show on food and throw it all onto the website, straighttalk.cc. So if you want to get the second half of the show, which is going to be a little more complex, a little bit more factual, a little bit more conceptual, go to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc. That's with two T's. Look at the site. It'll be show 404. Just click it up, and you'll see the pictures, and there'll be two shows. And if you're surfing the web at another date listening to YouTube, make sure you get on the website. I don't put the pictures on YouTube. Henry Liu, he's got a book out. Check out how smart the Chinese are. You know the herb cordyceps. Many of you know it as the main ingredient in that product called Adrenaven by Premier Research Labs. Great stuff. Cordyceps. As long as you have a good source of cordyceps, you know what the Chinese do? Specifically the Taoists, that sect of the Chinese. Lots of Chinese wouldn't know this practice from anything. They've never even heard of it. But the sect of the Chinese called the Taoists, T-A-O-I-S-T, they take duck and they roast duck. And of course, this duck is wild duck. This duck isn't garbage duck. Duck is wild game, like elk is wild game, like buffalo is wild game. Wild game, whether it's wild turkey, wild duck, wild deer, wild elk, wild bison, is always better than a domesticated meat, like chickens in the coop, or cows out there, or worse, cows. Let's not even discuss the concentration of chemicals. Let's just understand that when you take a wild animal, however you procure a wild animal, and you eat that meat, and the animal's wild, you're going to have a power in that meat, second to no other meat. Wild fish versus farmed fish. There's another example. The Chinese will take a wild duck, roast the duck slow. Excuse me, boil the duck. I didn't say roast. Boil the duck slow. So they won't even boil it at 212. They'll just keep it under that. At any rate, once the duck is done, they'll take out the guts and they'll stuff the duck with cordyceps. And they'll let it simmer for like 24 hours. So now you have this very, very digestible bird with a blend of cordyceps and wine and certain syrups and licorice inside the gut of the duck. And that's what they eat. You want to talk about the ultimate elixir on a cold and rainy day? Eat wild game. And again, how was this learned? Who gave them the recipe? Here's my point. All you need is a pregnant woman and give her her choices for the day. All you need is a kid. All you need is a culture that trains itself to its core, that trains itself to its gut, that trains itself to its soul, that respects that really reality is an alchemy. It's not a science and it's not an art. It's an alchemy. It's what the computer spits out. If you integrate the ethers with the analytic mind, it's called actually empiricism. So there's a little bit about lamb and duck and lobster. Now, egg, how can you go wrong with an egg? You have a digestive disorder. How can you go wrong with an egg? How? I'll tell you how. Hard boil it. I'll tell you how. Cook it to death. I'll tell you how. Eat one at Starbucks that came out of the microwave. My Lord, if you don't understand how a nuked egg out of a microwave at Starbucks is not the same as getting a wild egg, a fertilized egg with an orange yolk that's just mildly heated in the skillet. And please don't use coconut oil to do that. Use olive oil. Use butter. Coconut oil is disgusting. Please don't do that. I'm Italian. Don't do that. Or don't tell me that you do that. Or really don't do that, period. Forget that coconut oil thing with gourmet food. You want to make your food taste really good. Butter. Throw butter in there. Forget the heart disease scare. That's a scam. Just use butter or olive oil. Cook up that egg sunny side up. Put some salt on it and eat 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of those for breakfast. I guarantee you it will digest easily. So will a poached egg. But if you want to start mixing stuff in, if you want to start the omelet stuff, if you want to do that omelet dry, if you want to go out to a restaurant with your friends and mix that omelet with all sorts of other garbage, if then you want to have that egg in the omelet cook too much, in other words, the omelet that was supposed to be very wet is very dry, even if you want to scramble it, even if you want to scramble it wet, you're going to ruin the egg. You're going to challenge your digestion in ways that are not good. The egg is one of the great mediators. An egg cooked correctly is one of the great mediators of a sick stomach. When in fact you have trouble digesting, there are so many people like this. Why do you think IBS is like the number 2 or number 3 reason people stay home from work every day? Gastrointestinal issues. People cannot digest their food because they're destroying their food, because they're eating foods that aren't right for them. And then they're reading books and applying their intellectual mind to all these opinions out there, swearing that this is the way you should eat. Do you know how many people I have under my care that have been spinning in circles for 10, 20 years that are just as confused today as they were? They are a nightmare to work with, a nightmare. They are like tortured children. Something so natural, so easy, so elegant, so fun as to get up in the morning and say, how do I want to nourish myself, has been so dastardly polluted. I said dastardly with a D. Dastardly polluted to the point where you can barely work with them. And that's what lots of people suffer from anyway. Their enteric nervous system has been destroyed, meaning the natural ability for the pregnant woman to choose her food or for the child to choose its food. That's been destroyed in the womb. In gestation, people have been traumatized to the point where they can't even pick their foods. You have to sit there with them morning, noon, and night, hold their hand, and look at them when they eat their food, and point to them what their body's telling you because they can't listen to their own body. That's how arduous. That's how time-consuming it gets. That's why most of these people, they're sick their whole life. Once you can't pick your foods like a pregnant woman, you are coming up to try to hit the ball out of the park with a toothpick. You are at a severe deficit when you cannot mediate your food choices through your intuitive faculties. This is how we should be teaching people. This is how we should be programming people. This is how we should be encouraging children. When I have anything to do with children and their parents and the kid is finicky, I tell the kid, don't give in. You eat what tastes good to you, as long as it's not junk. If it's food that you love, that's nourishing, you eat it. You should see how kids respond. Kids know. You just got to tell kids the truth. That's what the art of life is. Learning how. I said how. There's a way not to tell the truth and there's a way to tell the truth. You have to learn how to tell the truth. But if you know how to tell the truth to a kid, it's a slam dunk 99.9% of the time. But how can a parent do that when the parent doesn't live its truth because the parent has been so reasonably destroyed by people with credentials? I rest my case. Amen. As you see, food is a large subject. I'm not going to get through the whole thing today. But I will tackle a huge piece of it off the air on the show. So get to straighttalk.cc after this. I am without doubt on a roll this morning. As I said, I bring you the salt of the ocean. People say, what are you doing in that water? I mean, they ask me, the lifeguards. The other day in the rain, in the pelting rain, I was in the waves. And the lifeguard is, you know, they drive by in the car. They don't get wet when it rains because they're lifeguards. So he drives by in the car and he looks at me like, did you have a good swim? Oh, it's fantastic. Actually, everyone responds great. They ask me and I tell them it builds your immunity. I had a lady come up to me today to say that. I was in my shorts, so she said, you know, you must have warm blood. And I said, yes, I do. Very. In fact, I'm going in the cold ocean now. And they get it. People get it. You just have to be exposed to the truth. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Call. I've got about 5 spaces for the seminar next week, 11 to 7. Call, make the payment, come, you'll come back. I guarantee you. Everybody else, if you're lost in the labyrinth of health, and it is a labyrinth, call that same number, come in, make the appointment, and get put on the right track, no matter who you are. We can deal with it if you have humility, if you're willing to work. That's all it takes, humility and a willingness to get your elbows dirty. God bless you. We'll see you for the second half later. Ta-ta.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.
Okay, part 2. Let's begin. I'll get into it in a lot more detail over the next 30, 45 minutes. But you can never talk enough about food. I've talked so much about it over the years, I kind of forget to talk about it. Thus the show today. But really, especially if you're one of those people who've been digestively defective, disabled, handicapped for 1, 2, 3 decades. The good news is it's simple. The answer's in there. You can't get to it because of the trauma. That's what the enteric nervous system is about. GAPS, the GAPS diet, Natasha Campbell, she took a shot at trying to address that. But the word enteric nervous system's everywhere. It just means that you're so stressed and you don't even know it that you can't figure out, like the child or like the pregnant woman, what you need to nourish your body. And when you do this correctly, your body tells you. It's like things happen in your body. It's like the food just talks to you. It's like it feels good. The Chinese took this to such a precise level that if you look at picture 1, that's the Tao of Nutrition, Mao Xing Ni. I mean, you don't get better than this. The Chinese are breaking down foods to everything. Every organ of your body associates to a food. I just covered the lamb, duck, chicken thing. You know, beef is for the muscles. Chicken is for the spleen. So on and so forth. But point is, and it's beyond the Tao of Nutrition. It's really, that's just a guideline. Smokey Santillo there, picture number 2, intuitive eating. I think he did a Western translation of what the East talks about, which is typical of him. And I think there's great merit in the book. Again, it's just taking you to the pregnant woman thing. Well, you're so far away from that, perhaps, that how do you know? Well, we'll get into that. How do you know what's good for you when the idea is listen to your body and you don't know how to listen to your body? How do you train yourself to listen to your body? How do you increase, enhance your food IQ, so to speak? That is a process. The first step of which is to embrace the concept. It's got to hit you in that special place or you're closed off immediately. If you're sitting there like a lost child going, just tell me what to do, you're already done. It never works that way. The concept is, or what you might say to yourself is, tell me how to embrace food. Tell me how to know what's good for me. I mean, we do that in our relationships, right? That's what you do in your relationships. If you're single and you're dating, you want to figure out if she's or if he's good for you. If you're about to marriage, if you're about to get married, you want to know, is he good for me? Is she good for me? We're doing this all the time. You take a new job, you find a place to live. Is this going to be good for me? So we want to replace all that when it comes to food. We want to replace all that with just tell me what to do. Just tell me who's good for me. Just tell me who I should marry. Think about it. Think about that. Makes perfect sense to say, tell me what food to eat. I went to this nutritionist. They gave me the diet. I read the book. This is the diet for me. I know my friend told me. I waited 6 months to get to see this doctor. I went to this doctor. He knows everything. He told me what to eat. His name is Dr. Gundry. I only go to the best, so I skipped the book. I went right to Dr. Gundry. He told me what to eat. Think of how dumb that is. But that's what most people do. That's like saying, I went to Dr. Gundry. He told me who to marry. I went to Dr. Gundry. He told me how to invest my money. You can't give responsibility to people in lieu of your own accountability. You can't do that. You can take counsel, but in the end, it's you. So what does it come down to? Food choices. What kind of a training are you in? What kind of an evolution are you in to determine what's good for you? As I said, the first step is the attitude. Well, Smokey Santillo tries with this book. I'm going to answer that question in detail, but I want to just say it to a few of the other. There's Brian Clement. That's the wheatgrass guy. That's the raw, live, sprouted guy. Great guy. I like him. There's Ann Wigmore. Personally, I think she was a wacko. But that doesn't mean anything. I didn't really know her. It's just my vibe, so what? Page 6 there. The Hippocrates Diet and Health Program by Wigmore. Then there's the wheatgrass book. All right, so wheatgrass. All right, this is the macronutrient concept. This is something Joel Fuhrman's always on. And he's got a great point. If you're going to eat foods that are packed with nutrition. Done. Is wheatgrass packed with nutrition? Yes. Does sprouting enhance the nutrition? Yes. But that's not your only question. Your only question is not, does it have the nutrition? Is it digestible? Is it digestible for me? So how do you know? How do you know if it's digestible for you? That's the problem. You can't tell. I can tell. I could tell in 2 flat seconds. I could eat something off the floor. I could scrape it off a wall. I could eat it in the jungle. I could buy it at the organic food store or the farm, take it home and cook it the way I want to prepare it. I'm really good at knowing that. You have to be better at knowing that. So yes, the nutritional content of the food, write it down. 1, nutritional content. That's important, yes. And if you talk to Brian Clement or Ann Wigmore and they talk about wheatgrass, this, that, and the other thing. Wheatgrass, chlorella, spirulina, algae, all these superfoods that are chock full of all this stuff. Great idea. So that's important. Concentration of nutrients. But 2, can you digest it? How do you know? I'll make it really simple because that's what I do. Compare it to a food that you put in your belly. It disappears. You don't even feel the food. It's like the food is gone. No bloating, no gas, no pain, no feeling of fullness, no nothing. Just you ate it. It's down there. It's gone. It's like you didn't even eat. It's like you're, hey, I need more food. I'm not hungry. How about that? Let's start there. Let's start, the food goes down in a pleasant, easy way. It tastes great. It hits your belly. It disappears. No gas, no bloating, no nothing. And you really love the taste of it. You have to have a baseline food. So on a separate list, put baseline foods. What are they? What are your green light foods? What are the foods that you can ingest that are no problem? Everyone, almost everyone has these foods. And if you don't have these foods, your birth trauma has been so bad that you're on a whole other level of pain. No, it's not your chronic parasite. Would you forget that? If you can't digest and you've bought into this parasite thing and you've been tested for parasites and some rocket scientist found a parasite and you've been on the antiparasitic herbs for months, years even, and you still can't digest, forget it, please. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with your nervous system. Your enteric nervous system shot. And if you're really as bad as what I was just talking about, meaning you can't even find a green light food, look to birth trauma. You have a neurological issue, which is its own subject. And if you don't respect that, embrace it, bring it into yourself, make steps to do something about it, the whole thing, forget it. You will be handicapped nutritionally and suffer the consequences for the rest of your life till you die and beyond. That is the way it works, my friends. Not pulling any punches, not on the off-air show at any rate. That's why we do the off-air show. We can get away with more. More truth. All right, so quality, I should say nutritional concentration. Wheatgrass is great. Any of those superfoods are great. But you got to digest it. And if you don't know how to digest, have a green light food. I would say an egg across the board is one of the great green light foods. Everyone can digest an egg. Cooked correctly, though. So let's get to the concept. You've got to have it concentrated with nutrient. You've got to know how to digest it. To digest it, you've got to know how to prepare it. So you always got to think in terms of food preparation. So take an egg, which is a great green light food. Maybe it's not your green light food. Find a green light food as I just defined it. But before you say no to a green light food like an egg, meaning before you say no to a food that if you prepared it correctly, you could really just digest it easily. Before you say no to it, you have to consider the type of preparation. How did you prepare it? And this is where this cooked versus raw nonsense comes in, and it is nonsense. So let me talk about animal protein. The less you cook animal protein, the better. But when you get to fruits and vegetables, you deal with fiber. And once you're dealing with fiber, raw vegetables are so fibrous, you're going to die from eating them. Raw fruit, less so, but still. The minute you're talking about a fibrous food, the fact that that fibrous food is raw is going to create hell in your digestive tract. More people do this. Make this mistake. Oh, raw is good. And so they bathe themselves in fruits and vegetables and get sick forever. So as far as cooked versus raw, under the heading of how did you prepare it, the less cooked the meat, the better. The chicken, the fish, steam it, boil it, eat it raw. The red stuff, wild game, the beef, even if it's not wild, on the rare side, very rare, even raw. But your fruits and vegetables, especially your vegetables, if your digestive system's very sensitive, if you're one of those people, you may have to steam it well and get away from this nonsense that, well, you're going to lose all the nutrients, so you can't steam it. Yeah, try eating a raw mushroom someday. Steam everything till it's mushy. Just do that. There'll be more than enough nutrition in there for you. You'll get the benefit of the fiber, you'll get the benefit of the nutrition, and you will digest it easily. And eat your vegetables alone. Eat your vegetables by themselves. I'm going to get to food combining in a second. Eat your vegetables by themselves. You may have to embrace that you need to learn to prepare food. So if you were to take something like, all right, let's go after a rough one, broccoli. Steam it till it's yellow green, not till it's crispy, till it's yellow green. And maybe baste it in some olive oil or butter. Maybe saute some onions in. Or maybe take almonds, soak the almonds, sprout the almonds, or some other nut, and either turn it into a nut cheese or just chuck the nuts on there after they've been soaked and sprouted and then dehydrated. And then throw that into the broccoli with butter and some salt. Almondine, remember? Spinach almondine, broccoli almondine. These are simple things to do, but look at what you're doing now. You're taking the vegetable and you're steaming it so intensely that you're breaking the fiber down. It could become a green light food. Green light meaning what? Meaning you ate it, digested it, you felt good, you didn't bloat, you didn't get gas. It was just a wonderful experience for you and it tasted good. And there's Charlie over there burping and passing gas to wheatgrass juice for an hour or two. And then somebody's telling him, well, we are just detoxing. No, you're eating something you can't digest. I think I'm only going to last another half an hour. I used to teach classes on this. Maybe I'll do a class fairly soon. But you're not going to hear this anywhere. I can guarantee you that. I've done a bunch of food shows over the years. So go on the site and look up my other food shows also. Just keep pulling it together. But I'm really trying to get it so it's more cohesive for you. So one, the amount of nutrients in the food. Two, the preparation. Under the preparation, eat the meats more on the rare side. If you're talking about cooking the meats, boil them. Don't do that high heat thing with the meats, and don't do high heat and then medium or medium well. This is shoe leather then. I've talked about fruit and vegetable. The fats. What kind of fat? Butter? Who has problems digesting butter? You can't digest? Go steam some broccoli and put some butter and salt on it. You'll digest it just fine. Now add that to the eggs. I don't mean at the same time, but now you have two foods on the green light list. Start with the green light list. Make a bunch of foods that are green light. If you don't have enough because you're trapped in that mentality of everything makes me bloat, no. Do not think everything makes you bloat. Everything makes you bloat, not because you're a parasite, not because of anything, because you don't know what you're doing. Just start there. And then go, I'm going to make a list of green light foods. And to facilitate that, go into mono foods. Eat one food. Pick one food. So you see, the simpler you get it, the better. Pick one food. Make sure it's got a lot of nutrition in it. And then check the preparation of that food. Then go to mono foods. So don't mix your foods. If you're handicapped digestively, dealing with it, don't sit down to a meal with seven different foods in it, six different foods, five. I had the egg, and then I added a little salsa, and then I added a little avocado, and then I threw some cheese on it, and then I wrapped it in a nice tortilla, and I made this really healthy burrito. Or the guy at Whole Foods made it for me, or the guy at Mother's made it for me. That's ridiculous. That's like digestive suicide. Why are you doing that? Mono foods. Eat one food. Eat an egg. Done. You want to do wheatgrass juice? Do 1 ounce of wheatgrass juice. Done. Don't then add a pork chop to it. You want to know how you're going to do with meat? Do a carpaccio. Go to the butchery, go to Mother's, go to Whole Foods, and get yourself a really high-quality steak. Char it rare, put some salt on it, and eat it. That's it. Done. And when you eat your food is most important. You guys that are breaking out of the sanitarium of food, so to speak, don't go trying to evolve your food habit 10 o'clock at night. Do it before 4 p.m. Really, between 10 and 4, that's when you eat. Don't eat after 4 o'clock. Start as early as you want. Stuff your face as long as you want. But by 4 o'clock, stop. Slow it down. Don't be eating after 4 o'clock. Now, I'm not talking to you, the one with the iron stomach, or the shark. I'm talking about many of you who are interested in how to pull yourself out of digestive torment. Don't eat after 4 o'clock. All right, fats. Fats are so easy, and fats are so hard. Fats are easy because they're so easy to digest. But you've got to know how to get high-quality fat. High-quality fat. Take the olives, pate them, and just eat them with garlic. Throw them on a thin cracker. Eat the avocado by itself with a little salt. Rack it up, make a little guacamole. Just eat a couple of tablespoons of that. Take the coconut, pull it out, blend it up, throw a little sweet stuff in it, a little honey or whatever you want, and just drink a little bit of coconut cream. Butter. How could you have trouble digesting butter? It's not possible. Yeah, it's possible to mess your fats up when you're mixing your fats with meats and vegetables and all the other carbohydrates and stale carbohydrates and the rest of it, then fat digestion's an issue. But not when you're digesting an olive. Not when you're using some olive oil to saute something. Or you're taking olive oil and you're basting your cooked vegetables or your raw vegetables with the olive oil. Then there's the fat and meat, very easy to digest. The fat and fish, very easy to digest. Respecting the other things, other facets I've discussed. Dairy, aged cheese with some fruit. No one has trouble digesting that. But Kraft cheese, Velveeta cheese, garbage cheese in the restaurant. So quality. Don't just trust organic. Farmers market quality. You bought it off a farm, quality. It costs more, quality. You read where you get it from. You source your own stuff. You source it. It's ripe. It's grown correctly. I mean, I could take every food and talk an hour about each food. So I just can't. But if you've got common sense, you'll know quality. Quality, food combining, preparation, time of day, list of green light foods. You're getting it now. You're getting it. These are exercises in getting you to sense your body. These are exercises. I'm giving you exercises so you can smarten up, so you can improve your food IQ. You do that, trial and error, you learn, you learn, you learn. That's how you cure. But what people do is they sit there and they go, I don't know what to eat. And everything I eat makes me gassy and bloaty. And I've tried everything. And you sit there like a sniveling child without your parents. And you just jump from surrogate parent to surrogate parent to surrogate parent to surrogate parent. And that's what you do for 30 years. Don't doubt me. I have tons of people that are like this. Are you like that? You better check yourself if you are, because you're going to stay sick forever. Make yourself your own experiment. Make yourself your own experiment. Yeah, you can do it, and you'll figure it out. And don't get sidetracked with nutritional nonsense, parasites, and this and that and the other thing. Don't do that. You can't digest because your metal content's too high. Your thyroid's low. And that you can get so sidetracked with all this garbage, it is really sinful. And it's the holistic people that'll sidetrack you. The MDs will just go, you know, it's all in your head. Just shut up and eat. The MDs are like, gastroenterologists are like, you know, they give you some dumb allergy test. Oh, yeah, that's the other one. You're allergic to everything. You have leaky gut. You may have a little leaky gut, but I'm giving you the way out for leaky gut. Leaky gut is now a crutch for the handicapped. It amazes me. It absolutely amazes me. The extent we go to give people crutches. Okay, fine, so you can inflame the intestinal villi. Great. So the space between the epithelial membranes of the intestines, it inflames a little bit, and rah, blah, blah. The question is why? I've yet to meet anyone with real leaky gut that wasn't sympathetic, dominant to another level. You can't relax through the digestive tube. There's your leaky gut. So minimize the damage by eating foods that are less inflammatory. And right. Yes, how do you do that? I'm giving you the roadmap. Or do we need to attach 15,000 hours of science to it in terms of talking about inflammatories and cytokines and this and that and the other thing? It's not worth it. Listen to your body. Use food as an experiment, considering the parameters that I enumerated, and listen. And you'll start gravitating towards foods that are not inflammatory. There's your solution. You know what your leaky gut is? Your leaky gut is your trauma, your mental trauma getting in the way of what would otherwise be an easy experiment. You shoot yourself in the foot because of the trauma. Type yourself also. Typing. Typing is a good thing to do. Some people digest meat better. Those are the O bloods. That doesn't mean if you're an A blood and you're more vegetarian, you shouldn't have meat. There you go. You made the mistake again. Don't eat right for your blood type. So if Peter Diadamo with his blood type book says O's eat meat and you don't like meat, then that's it. You got to eat meat even though your body says don't eat meat because somebody else says you should eat meat. Everybody writing a book is told to write the book as the almighty way. That's the way it works in publishing. The minute you start giving people choices, you lose sales. That's the way it works. So it is much smarter from the standpoint of profit to deny people choices, because then you do the work for them. They don't have to think. They can just do. And that's the way most people are engineered. So the books reflect that. And this is where we lose. We lose. It is the opposite of how you heal. Because the body is in dynamic flux and ever changing. So eat right for your blood type. Type yourself. Typing is a tendency, not a dogmatic law. But you want to type yourself. Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Type yourself. Vatas need to eat more. Vatas burn fat faster. Vatas need more fat. The difference between vegetarian or a carbohydrate-driven person and one who's more carnivorous, that difference is zero difference. It's no difference. Both should be in a ketogenic state, meaning both should be burning fat. It's just that one body needs carbs, and with less carbs than the other, meaning someone who is more carb-oriented, despite needing to live with their blood sugar at the lower levels, despite that, they're going to need more carbs than someone that's purely carnivorous. Again, this is a relative thing. You've got vegetarians, you've got carnivores, and then you've got people who need to be mixed. And we can talk about all sorts of differences between the three. But in the end, it doesn't matter, because no matter what you say, someone's going to break the rule, because we're all so individual. So again, back to home plate, first base. What are we going to use to discern our choices? And this is my point. There's a feeling of eating food, having it burn, and having it digest so quickly that you're constantly in this just slightly hungry state. It's a state of very mild ketosis. It's a state where you know that you're burning fat. You're using fat to provide fuel. Now, whether you're doing that predominantly or in a more moderate way, that's genetics. It's different people at different times. And it may well be that people who need more carbs are less orientated towards being in higher state of ketosis, higher state of low carb, animal protein, fat, make ketones, and live off that. So it's a matter of degrees, but you play with it. And on the wrong end of the stick for both vegetarian and for carnivore is when your insulin and blood sugar are running in too disparate a way, and you're basically pre-diabetic in the name of what? Some bozo that writes a book on vegetarianism? Just as should you get heart disease because some guy says paleo's the way to go? And no, it's not confusing. It's not confusing if you listen to your body. When your diet is wrong for you, you will become sludgy and congested. So you got to add that to the green light list. The diet you're approaching is the diet that decongests you, that keeps you flowing. And that, again, is a physical experience of yourself. We're not going to get around that basic concept. Go to picture 10, Agenis. Picture 11, the recipe for living without disease. Picture 10, We Want to Live, it's his book. That was the raw everything guy. But he wasn't into vegetables. He was a dairy guy and a meat guy. Meat and dairy. Everything was meat and dairy. Meat and dairy. Great. But not for everybody. But how would you know? You'll get congested. And when people congest, they're often told they're detoxing. Well, that's true sometimes, but usually it's not. You're inflaming yourself because the choices aren't right. But what Ajahn has brought to us, other than doing the meat very rare to raw, what he brought also was his respect for dairy, which, of course, the paleo diet destroyed. Lauren Cardin that did paleo wasn't into dairy. Who's right? Who's wrong? Again, this is asinine. I know people who've saved their lives with raw dairy. And I know people, I'm one of them, I even look at raw milk. It makes me puke. Raw butter, not on my best day. Stuff is disgusting. And yet I know people who have had their lives saved. No one factors in the anthropology. You got to check your anthropology, find out how your great ancestors ate. And again, there's no 100% law even that way. See, this is the Jeet Kune Do of eating. This is absorb what's useful. Absorb what's useful is trial and error. Trial, error, back to the blackboard. Trial, error, back to the blackboard. So we've decided that eating is simply, how do you eat? Well, I go to the store and I get food and I eat it. I mean, see? That's called disrespecting your body. That is how you get sick. And then to solve yourself, you simply find someone that tells you how to eat. That's called putting the nails onto the coffin. So there's a way out for you. There's a way out. All right, there's a whole bunch of other shows I've done on food. Listen to them. Listen to the other, I could just keep going, but it's, you know, how long can you listen to anybody? It's 35 and it's been a good solid hour. That's enough of a romp for today. See, look at picture 13. Go to picture 13. Tremendously varied diets and optimal health. The Swiss, raw and pasteurized dairy and rye. If I even smell rye, I have a headache. Gaelic fishermen. Seafood, oats, no dairy. Oats, I look at oats, I want to barf. The Eskimo, you wouldn't catch me dead living up there. I've got a suggestion for Eskimos. Move. But they don't want to move because they're happy eating walrus fat. Good. The Maori. Seafood, fatty pork, plants, coconuts, fruit. All these Maasai, no plant foods, just beef, raw milk, and organ meats. Price, Weston, was studying and found that they all had wonderful health. And within these groups, you have what? Everything. Coconuts, fruits, vegetables, grains, everything. So now we're in America, and we're a modge podge of everybody. And so there's only going to be one way to eat. Think about that. I mean, if this doesn't show it, Price finding different cultures, entirely different ways of eating. Should some Colombian in the Amazon, some Nicaraguan in the Amazon, some Brazilian in the Amazon, some Guatemalan in the Amazon eat like an Eskimo or a Gaelic fisherman? I rest my case. But that's what we're doing. You know, this 23andMe, Ancestry.com, great stuff, right? So what do you find out when you do it? You're a quarter this and a quarter that, and these parts can be from all over the globe. But you've decided to eat like David Wolf. And he laughs all the way to the bank, I promise you. So many ignorant scams run on people. It's terrible. Go to picture 15. I use this picture in my seminar. It's a great picture. I love this picture. Aqueous suspension, supersaturated with calcium citrate. That on the left is calcium phosphate. What that's saying to you, well, the reason I put this picture on the site is because it's a splendid example of what you're doing when you inflame your body by eating incorrectly. You precipitate all sorts of sludge. Arthritis, heart disease, brain plaque, everywhere. You plug your kidneys up, you plug your liver and gallbladder up, you plug your skin up. All the tiny little sprockets of your eye get plugged, glaucomas and macular degenerations. The list is endless, but it's all off the backside of precipitate. And then that flask on the right, we added citrate to a solution of calcium phosphate, and it puts the citrate out of suspension. It puts the phosphate out of suspension, puts it into its soluble state, and it gets clear again. I love that picture. Because that's what good eating does. It puts the precipitates back into solution so they either dissolve off the walls that they've bonded to, and they certainly, in the least, stop forming so you can excrete them out. All right, that's enough for today. Again, you can only do so much in an hour. If you've just been cruising the web and you're on this site, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I give it straight as an arrow can be. And I will see you next week. I will see you next week. Enjoy this sunny Saturday. Okay, bye.